From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, September 4th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis community members are still helping clean up debris from the May tornado. Some have spent tens of thousands on dumpsters for North St. Louis neighborhoods where city cleanup lags behind.
This is our fifth week in a row, so we filled this 40-yard dumpster, and they are not funded by the city.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with people who've committed a lot of time and money to cleaning up debris. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Republicans appear to be on a fast track to passing a congressional map that would eliminate one of the state's two Democratic-leaning seats. Members of the Missouri House gaveled into special session yesterday. GOP lawmakers introduced legislation that would convert Democratic Representative Emanuel Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. Republican Representative Richard West of St. Charles County is chairing a committee handling the redistricting bill. He's planning on holding a hearing this afternoon and then passing it out of committee without changes.
If you look at our state, the way we've been voting in the last few years, I think we've become a more Republican state. I'm not going to say not more conservative, but a more Republican state. There's a difference.
Missouri Democrats don't have the ability to prevent the GOP supermajority from passing the new map, but Democratic Representative Elizabeth Fuchs of St. Louis says Republicans are risking alienating the people they represent.
We want as many people here under the dome as possible to make it difficult for them to walk past their constituents without seeing their faces as they take away their rights to their votes.
Some Missourians are pushing back. Peggy Millman is a 78-year-old Columbia resident and was among a small group protesting yesterday against the gerrymandering efforts backed by President Donald Trump.
Well, the fact that our governor of Missouri is caving into him and actually calling this special session, we feel it's not right, and we want to have a voice.
Republican lawmakers also want to require some constitutional amendments to pass statewide and in all eight congressional districts. The special session is expected to last into next week. Some business and economic recovery efforts in St. Louis's tornado-impacted neighborhoods will soon be getting a boost. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports on a new $1 million contract between the St. Louis Development Corporation and a consulting firm.
On its website, Keypoint Solutions says its founder created the firm in response to the May 16th EF3 tornado that ripped through St. Louis. It aims to help the city recover quickly, effectively, and transparently. Founder Russell Holliday worked in St. Louis before as a program manager on the National Geospatial Agency's West Campus. He says he sees the tornado as an opportunity for the North Side.
Earthquakes, tornadoes, and other disasters create a net benefit post recovery. And I think that's one of the keys, I think, that I'd like to focus on.
SLDC officials say Holliday, who lives in New Zealand, will work in St. Louis in the corporation's offices. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Spire natural gas customers in St. Louis and eastern Missouri can expect a rate hike of 10% beginning next month. The Missouri Public Service Commission approved an agreement yesterday allowing Spire to raise its rate. That commission regulates investor-owned utilities across the state. In a press release, Spire said residential customers can expect their bills to rise by roughly $8 a month. The natural gas provider linked the rate hike to the cost of infrastructure upgrades. The new rates go into effect October 24th. As about 3,200 unionized Boeing workers enter the second month of their strike, there are no immediate plans for further contract talks between the company and the union. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell is following this.
Members of the local machinist union have made it clear that they will not stop striking until wages, vacation time, and other benefits are improved. Boeing St. Louis Vice President of Air Dominance, Dan Gillian, says he is willing to make small changes to the contract, but the economics of the offer will stay the same.
The discussions have been about more of everything, more in all areas, and I don't see that as viable. The offer we have on the table remains available for union consideration.
Gillian says he is concerned that only 10% of workers have gotten a personalized wage statement from the company, which details how the contract benefits each individual. He also said 30% of union members did not participate in the last vote. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
For the first time since 2021, Southern Illinois University Edwardsville's enrollment has increased. SIUE announced yesterday the school's fall enrollment tallied more than 12,800 students. That's 1,000 more than last fall. In the announcement, SIUE partially attributed the uptick to keeping first-year students. Administrators noted more students are also living on campus. The university also acknowledged, though, that retention rates among international students have decreased with visa uncertainty. SIUE's enrollment increase generally bucks the trend facing higher education, which has been losing students in the last decade. The area's newest dining rooms have a distinctly international flavor, with Indian, Thai, Peruvian, and Mediterranean spots among the past month's restaurant openings. Namaste Curry Lounge in St. Louis Hills and Prince Solomon's Royal Indian Restaurant in Rolla offer their spin on South Asian favorites. The Metro East is now home to Royal Palm Mediterranean in Fairview Heights and Banana Leaf Thai in Belleville. Rockwell Brewing Company's kitchen is now serving up Latin-inspired offerings through Street Food by Brasas. Among the local dining and entertainment destinations that closed in August, America's Incredible Pizza Company in South St. Louis County and Chaumette Vineyards and Winery in St. Genevieve. You can check out more of this month's restaurant openings and closings at stlpr.org. It has been nearly 4 months now since an EF3 tornado ripped through parts of St. Louis. And where the city hasn't helped clean up the rubble, community members have stepped in. Even so many weeks later, some volunteers are still getting calls to remove lingering debris in North St. Louis, as STLPR's Andrea Henderson reports.
About 15 community members are searching for lost items in the rubble of the lower level of Gwen Hudgens' tornado-destroyed home in the Ville.
My pictures, I got all my pictures. I try to go through my CDs because I had some cuts, I had some music on.
Hudgens is in better spirits because of the overwhelming support she received from the community. But in July, she voiced her opinions about the lack of city support at one of its tornado response meetings.
I've been asking the city for help. I have gotten no help from nobody. The debris that was picked up, it wasn't picked up in my area.
Since that meeting, she says the only thing that has changed was getting connected to Janelle Bess.
This is our fifth week in a row, so we filled, this is our fifth dumpster, 40-yard dumpster.
Bess started Grassroots Redeeming Love on May 17th. Her nonprofit directly sows monetary and physical support to tornado survivors. Bess and her team have raised about $50,000 for heavy-duty materials to help with debris cleanup. They've also deployed about 150 volunteers across North St. Louis neighborhoods.
I don't know how many dumpsters total we've bought for North City. There's been tons. We spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars just on dumpsters alone.
It's been over 100 days since the storm, and some streets still have piles of debris on the curbs and sidewalks. Residents like Hudgens continue to raise their concerns at town halls, but debris is still on private property. There's still an estimated 1 million tons of tornado debris left in the city to be collected. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer said it could take several years to remove it. She's put in a request for help from the Army Corps of Engineers, but is waiting for a response. Right now, they're relying on the city's forestry and streets departments to assist, but residents say they can't wait any longer. And it's community members like Michael Jones who are still answering calls for help.
Hi, Mr. Jones. This is Ms. Harvey. I heard you cut up trees. Can you give me a call?
My name is Ardelia. The tornado took down some trees in the back of our house. Could we get some service out here?
On the day of the tornado, Jones put a message on Facebook about removing debris.
I got calls every day. I mean, easily 12, 13, 14, 15 calls a day.
Jones is the owner of Clayton Park Lawn Care. Calls aren't that frequent, but he still gets them. He's helped hundreds of people remove trees from their homes, move bricks, and pull crushed appliances to their front lawns, all for free.
I got a lot of, I'm trying to call the city, ain't nobody been able to help. And even got to the point where I was telling them, like, I ain't gonna be able to get to you until weeks down the road.
Jones says he spent about $5,000 of his own money for recovery efforts. He bought a chainsaw, a used truck, toiletries, and hotel rooms. He's happy to be a blessing for others, but says the city's delayed debris removal feels ominous.
I own property in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you ride through the lower Ninth Ward for a lot of part, it still looks like Katrina just left. I knew when I was riding down there Fridays at May 16th that how it looked right then was how it's going to look for years.
Jones says North St. Louis could be faced with more vacant lots and population loss if officials don't move faster. As for Hudgens, who lived in her home for over 40 years, she says she has to witness the slow-moving process daily, and it's not promising.
I thought they would have got us help right away. They moving slow as ever. They want us to leave.
I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.